I understand why Hikaru now complained about white noise. It's just unbearable.
Okay, Hikaru, very strong reaction about your statement regarding the disrespect towards Title Tuesday and the cheating that occurs in Title Tuesday. Your reaction to that?
Okay, so first of all, so what Hikaru said was that why am I talking about it if I don't respect the tournament? Well, part of the reason I don't respect the tournament is because I think that you could see Hikaru was being extremely uncharitable, also because before I even said anything, he had an expression on his face that what I said was ridiculous before I even said a word. Honestly, most people are probably playing in their underwear, which I guess they'll have to stop doing if they're on camera.
Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the C Squared Podcast. A very busy week just concluded in the world of chess, of course. We had the Grand Chess Tour event in St. Louis, the St. Louis Rapid and Blitz. Fabi, you've played in that one. Definitely a very exciting, a lot of storylines attached to that tournament as well. We had the Esports World Cup that concluded a couple of weeks ago in Riyadh. We haven't had the chance to discuss that because, of course, you were traveling quite extensively. Immediately after that one, you came back to St. Louis, and our latest episode with Danny Rensch created somewhat of a fuss as well. In particular, there was a huge reaction from Hikaru that gathered a lot of attention from the fans, and I do want to hear your thoughts on that and sort of clarify the situation and perhaps give your reaction to his reaction. So, definitely a lot of ground to cover. Fabi, first of all, take it away with the one closest to our timeline, and that is the St. Louis Rapid and Blitz. You took second place. Obviously, second place is not something that you come into a tournament wanting. You always strive for more, strive for the first, especially with everything that's happening around the Grand Chess Tour standings. But how would you rate, let's say, your event in St. Louis?
No, well, I can't say second place is not what I expect. It's a perfectly good result in, in a vacuum. It's a very strong event. Sure, it doesn't have Magnus. It didn't have Magnus. It didn't have Hikaru or Alireza like some previous events. Remains an event with many, if not most, of the top players in the world, bar a few. And yeah, Levon won. He's continuing excellent run. Of I mean Vegas event, even Esports World Cup, although he didn't get close to winning, still he played reasonably well. I mean he has a good run of events. Not shocking because it's Levon, it's not a shock. But anyone would be happy with such a run. So congrats to him. I mean he deserved it. He had the most consistent results overall. If you count Rapid and Blitz, it was like a clear victory, not really much in question after the fourth day. My disappointment comes from the fact that I had a good Rapid section, very good, close to being historic in terms of the result.
Absolutely. If you would have won that one against Gukesh, you would have reached a pretty much historical score in terms of the Grand Chess Tour.
Historical in terms of the Grand Chess Tour, but that's a long history of many top tournaments, including performances by Magnus of 7.5 out of 9, Gukesh recently 7 out of 9, and many more. So I would have been very proud of that. I was still reasonably proud of 7 out of 9. But you always feel a bit like missed out. It was like a one kind of careless moment when I had the choice to play Rook G8, the most natural move, or Queen H5, which requires a bit more extra calculation. And I kind of went a bit through inertia. I was thinking that Rook G8, Knight D5, Bishop D8 was winning. And it turned out to actually, although still better for Black, be rather unclear. And then it got into a mess. And unfortunately, in the mess, I didn't really perform. And unfortunately, it turned a winning game into a losing one, which also had chances to draw at various moments. But yeah, the Rapid, you can maybe expect an accident, because I played some quite high quality games. I think against Lequang, against Sam Shankland, against maybe not against Grigori, but there were a number of like very high quality games, I thought. And
yeah, your form was looking very, very good in Rapid, looked very good in Rapid as well. I think you came up with some cool ideas in the opening that produced very good results, obviously. I remember that game against MVL as well, where he got your bishop take on e6 early on. He just messed it up early on.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like the one main trap is that you don't allow bishop e6, but I think nobody analyzed it further than that. It's just like, my only knowledge was bishop e6 is good, but why? And it was actually like a long line of only moves, which I all played until this one moment. I'll just explain what I missed, so maybe we can put a board up. After bishop g5, the correct move is king b1, and then after he gives knight d2 check, king to a1. At this moment, I played, in my calculation, I played rook takes e1, rook takes e1 basically as one move, like a single capture. And then black plays knight c4 and is okay. But after rook takes e1, there's, if you want to call it an intermediate checkmate, knight takes d6 is actually checkmate. But for me, in my calculation, rook takes e1, rook takes e1 was not, there was no in-between move. It was just one move. Absolutely. I was like, okay, trade and then knight c4. And that was my blunder, which spoiled a winning position. Otherwise, it would have been a nice game. But anyway, the Rapid, you know, I can't complain overall. Levon did well too. You know, you could say he had one accident against me. So we both had one accident. And after the Rapid, it was kind of clear that one of us will probably win this tournament because I was a point ahead of him and I was 3 points ahead of Maxime. So, you know, most likely at that point, we're taking up like nearly all the equity in the tournament. But the first Blitz day was just such a disaster. I couldn't do a single thing right. It was like everything which could go wrong in any position did go wrong. Just everything. Openings went badly.
What happened in that first day? I mean, to be honest, both days were not amazing. But the first day was just, I was screaming in front of my screen, was watching the broadcast as well. And especially that moment against Levon. I mean, you got your setup. And then what exactly happened?
Even we reached the position where he played king e7 and I played king g7. And then I don't know why, like I was thinking, okay, I can play king g7 again, but knight g6, why not? I'll just give a check and then go back.
Have they repeated maybe, but they reached move 100, knight g6 check, and what? Okay, draw.
No, this is not a draw.
Wait,
he played knight g6 in the wrong position.
What?
Oh no, he thought it was stalemate, he still has king g7. And Levon does take the lead.
You know, even after I played it, I didn't realize, which is a bit unusual. You know, like this blindness can happen, but then you kind of see it immediately after. He took it, and I actually thought...
It's a draw, right?
And then I understood. It took me like a second to realize it's not a draw. There's a G7 square.
Time. It was that close.
I think it is here when instead of king g7, he went knight g6 and just blundered a piece in the game. Unreal.
And Fabi just looked up like, what did I do?
Like, what just happened?
Just like pure blindness. But there was other games too. I mean, the game against Lenier in the last round. You know, that there was like the kind of incredibly weird bad moments. And then there was also that the openings weren't going well, that I was getting outplayed in some positions. I was playing slowly. It was the second day, like, actually almost felt like a good day after the first one. It wasn't a good day. It was 50%. But it felt almost good. And I secured second place on the second Blitz day. So despite maybe not the worst result in hindsight, I still just want to forget about it.
And that obviously puts the whole situation of the Grand Chess Tour, those top four that qualify to Brazil, to the finals in Brazil. This is happening for the first time in a few editions of the Grand Chess Tour. And you are right now in fourth position, obviously still a lot to play at the Singfield Cup. Levon also made a huge jump in the standings from somewhere along the bottom rankings. Right now he's in second position. I believe he's half a point ahead of you. 3 points ahead of you. I don't have the standings in front of me.
I'll tell you. So Maxime is, I believe, mathematically in. Then we have Levon in second place, who is a point ahead of Ali Reza, who is 2 points ahead of me. Okay. Then we have Prague, who's half a point behind me. And Then we have a bunch of players who still have a chance, but they have to have a very good result. And so it's still all to play for.
Very contested. I think it's one of the most contested Grand Chess Tour Sinkfield Cups in terms of relevance to the finals in recent years.
Like, for example, if Prague scores one place ahead of me in classical, he'll get 1 point more, and then he'll overtake me. But if I get 2 points or more over Alireza, then I'll overtake him. And of course, it's also possible to overtake Levon, although harder because he's 3 points ahead. And there are players who could, like Noderbeck or Gukesh. I think Gukesh is in a pretty bad position, but there are players like that who also have a shot at getting in the fourth spot, probably not above the fourth spot. And yeah, like for me, I thought second place, before the tournament, I said second place probably good for the overall goal, which is to qualify for the finals, because it is a tour. The winner of the tour is not the winner of any single event. It's the winner of everything. And everything is the finals. That's the decider. So if you get first place or fourth place in the overall standings before the final, it gives you no advantage. You just have to try to win the final anyway. So in that sense, second place is fine, although first place is, of course, better. But either way, it doesn't guarantee anything. Levon is not guaranteed. I'm not guaranteed. We both still have to perform reasonably well in the Sinkfield Cup. Like, probably for Levon, if he scores plus one, he's in. If I score plus one, who knows, right? It's kind of like this. It depends a lot on Prague. It depends a lot on Alireza. And nobody is safe for the moment, which is exciting, you know, for the final event.
Absolutely. It is exciting. It is exciting. And you've historically done quite well on home turf. Both yourself and Levon obviously have proven that you're some of the top favorites going into the Sinkfield Cup. You've won it quite a few times. You've had decent results at the Sinkfield Cup. So it's going to be very interesting.
I don't know, like, how I've won the Sinkfield Cup 3 times, but I have had bad results in 2015 and 2017. So, you know, I've gotten second, I think, in 2021. I mean, it's not like I always do well. Maxime has won the Sinkfield Cup, I think, no, not twice. I think just once. But anyway, we'll see what happens, and I hope that I'll get some form compared to the Blitz.
Absolutely. Well, if the Rapid is any indication, then definitely the Classical is going to go well. Of course, we cannot know until the games are being played. Now, speaking of tournaments, we haven't had the opportunity to chat about the big one. I would say one of the biggest and most viewed events in chess in 2025, the Esports World Cup. You were representing Team Liquid alongside Magnus and Prague. You've made it past the first stage of the event, but unfortunately you fell through in the quarterfinals, if I'm not mistaken. How did you feel about the event from a chess perspective, but how did you feel about the event from a show perspective as well? Because for me, as a viewer, it was special. It looked like a special event, the whole setup. We've seen this type of event in Paris before, where the two players are on each side of the stage in front of their computers with an audience, obviously, but this one felt special for a variety of reasons. Obviously, the audience was a big one. It felt big, you know, the whole streaming setup, all of the commentators that were gathered in Riyadh, the chess commentators, but also people from outside the chess world as well. It just felt like it had a lot of weight to it. And that's a very, very encouraging sign, obviously, because, you know, the Esports World Cup most likely, in terms of chess, will continue. At least I do believe that at least for the first 3 years is going to be contested. It was quite important as well. But I mean, from a competitor's perspective, what's your take on it?
Well, I didn't watch the show except for a few moments after I was eliminated. So I guess maybe our viewers can comment and tell us what they thought, because I mostly heard positive things, but I can't speak directly to how entertaining it was. I didn't see too much of it.
I personally liked it. So from my perspective as a viewer, obviously as somewhat of an experienced viewer. I enjoyed it. I actually watched, and I don't necessarily watch full-time shows, but I had some extra time, so I was watching the majority of it.
Yeah, I mean, I heard mostly positive things, nearly only positive things from people who watched it. Of course, it's not going to be to everyone's taste. It's a 10-minute, 0-second. There's flagging. It's online, played on a computer, so there are mouse slips, as we saw. I think these kinds of things can detract. Like, we were, you could say, robbed of an interesting Armageddon between Noderbeck and Duda, because Duda just mouse slipped d6 instead of d5, and although it might be entertaining for some people to see that, I think it's more entertaining to see a real game that ends in a result where you can tell one player deserved it and one player didn't, or maybe just a complete time scramble, and they both deserved it maybe, or they both didn't, but there's one winner. You know, it's a
very painful way to lose $20,000.
I mean, you have this in other sports, right? In tennis, someone gets injured. What to do? It's part of the territory. But but that also kind of comes with the sport intrinsically, that people can get injured. While in chess, you don't have to have mouse slips, right? So, like, in my ideal world, it would be played over the board in an arena. I mean, because I feel like online is a way to connect people who are far apart, who can't play chess necessarily, unless we have this this common ground. But when everyone's just there, I think also, like, the visual aspect is nice, you know, seeing the pieces getting moved. The downside is it's very difficult to have a cleanly run non-increment event, because, like, let's say a piece falls on the ground, you have some dispute about it, you know, without increment. On the computer, of course, it's very natural to have no increment. You
know? Right, and it's kind of the whole esports idea behind it.
Yeah, that's the idea. You know, they were at some point thinking about everyone playing on tablet instead of on a computer. I think that most players were opposed to that, probably because of the unfamiliarity. I think Magnus was not opposed. He wanted it. But a lot of other players that I heard from didn't like the idea. And so they eventually went to a computer, which is a natural, it's what we usually do. I don't know how it would be on a tablet. Maybe mouse slips would be more common, but maybe less. Like, who knows, right? Duda did mouse slip, so I felt bad for him. You know, if he had lost in a long game, you can be disappointed, but you don't feel bad, because it's a fair contest. A mouse slip, it's like, you know, it happens to everyone. It just, sometimes a mouse slip is not so painful, and sometimes it's the end of the match. It's just a piece down. I mean, you know. So anyway, that kind of comes with the territory, but it wouldn't be my preference if I had to organize an event. As for the winner, I mean, Magnus, you know, not only did he deserve it, I think clearly deserved it. In the final match against Alireza, he was definitely superior by a large margin, and his closest match was against Hikaru, which was a good match from the games. It was interesting. They were both fighting hard. Quality was there, I think. The final Armageddon was a pretty good game for Armageddon. It ended a little bit quickly because Hikaru blundered something in a complex position, but it was a close and interesting match. And, you know, that could have gone differently, but I think the final between Magnus and Alireza, it didn't really feel like it was ever going to go any other way. You know, even when at some point Magnus botched this position where he was just winning and also had like 3 extra minutes, and Alireza had 24 seconds for the rest of the game in a complex position, and somehow, by some miracle, he wins. Like, just absolute miraculous stuff. Even after that, I still felt like Magnus is playing better, and also he's playing faster, so much faster, that it's going to decide at some point. Like,
yeah, no, it definitely felt that way. And Hikaru prefaced it as well going into those finals, and he said that if Alireza does not get his pressure early on, he does not succeed in putting pressure in the opening phase and on the clock as well against Magnus, then he's probably going to be in trouble if he allows Magnus to get into the groove that we know so well. And it's somewhat reminiscent of what happened in Paris between the two, right? Alireza never touched the ball. He just never got into the match. Magnus started scoring the victories early on, and especially against Magnus, it's extremely difficult to come from behind. Once he has an advantage and the draws generally work in his favor, it's extremely, extremely difficult to get back into the match. That's obviously good for Team Liquid. What's your perspective on that? Team Liquid won the chess in the first year. Magnus won it, got the 1,000 points, quite good. Are you celebrating that with the whole team? How does that look for Team Liquid?
Well, you know, the thing is, everything was very I mean, of course, I'm very happy about it. Like when I was eliminated, of course, I'm rooting for Magnus because I want the team to do well. Mm-hmm. And I also don't want to have to take the blame. And so that was good. And I think it was very important because it immediately propelled Team Liquid to the top of the standings. So yeah. Chess is a really integral part of the Esports World Cup. As for like the atmosphere there, it was so disconnected that there weren't really team celebrations, you know? I mean, first of all, I think every other game, like nobody knows each other so much in the cross section. So people who are playing another esport, they're hanging out with their team from that esport, right? And chess is right. Not really a team game in that sense. Like some games are team games, but chess, even if you're on a team, it's still an individual game. You play the Olympiad, all your results count, but you only play your game, right? You don't discuss with your opponent. So I mostly saw my kind of team manager. Mm-hmm. And besides that, I saw the chess players around, but didn't really hang out with anyone too much, a little bit with Levon. And didn't see Magnus too much throughout the event. You know, also when we played, it was always like separate locations, separate sections, you know? There was this stage, there was that stage, and I didn't see Magnus in the playing hall basically at all. We also played at different times. Like, some people could play at like 4 o'clock, and some people played at 8 o'clock. It was very spread out in that sense. So the whole event was big, was very big, and there were just so many people, so many games, you know, everything at different times, different locations. The complex was huge. You know, it was a little bit spread out in that sense.
Yeah, it almost felt like a test year for chess, and chess definitely passed that test. I feel the crowd was very much into it, very much engaged. The audience really enjoyed when Magnus did this to the audience. Obviously, that was quite a fun moment for everybody, and it sort of became a meme. But it felt like the players also sort of engaged with the tournament and what it required as well. The coming on the stage, the whole show behind it. It just felt like a step up for chess. And I have to say, I really enjoyed it. It was cool to see. And it seems like the one problem that Freestyle had with the noise coming from the audience, that didn't seem to be the case in Riyadh. Did you have any issues with that, or did that run smoothly?
Headphones, and then under that, earphones with music playing, or right. White noise. But white noise, I actually realized, is like pure torture after a while. So music is so much better. I understand why Hikaru now complained about white noise. It's just unbearable to like have white noise because it's just static.
Yeah, yeah.
And for like 5 minutes, you're going crazy. I realized that on even before we started playing, that I would need music. Try to test. They had like a test day, and music is okay. Short game periods, you know, 20-minute max games. You know, if we actually have like playing a classical game with that, I'm not sure I would have the same opinion. I'm not sure that music is in general a feasible solution for all types of chess, but for like a short game, yeah, you can manage it, you know.
What were you listening to, your playlist? Some people are speculating that you were listening to Tool.
Yeah, probably they could see that. I don't think it was speculation. Like, yeah, it was like an auto playlist, so just went through different Tool songs. I think I started with Invincible. I don't even know like what to, because the other ones were just automatic. It was a YouTube playlist. Yeah. Which I couldn't touch during the game. I couldn't change tabs, so I would have to stick with whatever I got. But yeah, it was probably like Invincible and then Numa, 10,000 Days. So I mean, it's not, vicarious, something like something along those lines.
Tool is good. Tool is good, especially to hype you up.
It's not bad because it's at some point gets instrumental, like after the...
It's rhythmic, yes.
And that's, I think, not bad. It kind of fades away. If it's like pop music, I don't know. I would manage.
Yeah, again, overall, at least from my perspective, as a viewer, it was a success. I'm really looking forward to see how this one is going to develop. And I'm glad to know that Team Liquid was happy, did quite well in that one. I don't know if they won the whole thing, the whole esports World Cup. I think it's still going on while we are chatting.
Yeah, but let me tell you the current standings. Falcons number one, Liquid number two, 4,400, 4,200 points. Matter a lot. And Team Vitality number three also had chess players on there. So chess matters a lot for sure.
Yeah, I think Magnus got 1,000 points. It is cumulative. Like, for example, if you end up on the podium, do they count your points as well? Just one.
Okay, No, just one. Because okay. Otherwise, I think it would actually be unfair. You could like buy up all the players and just win the whole
thing. Yeah, that actually makes sense. Just one.
The overall like prize fund, I think, is like 7 million first for the team. You get a few chess players, and it's maybe a good investment if you continue to accumulate all the points.
Let's get into the fun part of the episode. We got the technical chess aspect out of the way. Now let's go into the fun part. We just recorded an episode with Danny, released it about a week ago, and it made the rounds in the chess world, and there was one reaction in particular, the reaction of Hikaru, where he sort of called you out for the fact that you said that Title Tuesday is a tournament you don't respect. And obviously that was quite a statement by you, given that Title Tuesday is a tournament you pretty much play every single week, maybe multiple times a week. So, what was that all about?
Like, I haven't seen Hikaru's what he said yet. Well, I see it's a 54-minute video, so I guess he says a lot.
We're not going to go through the whole thing. I think that's, unless you want to, I have no problem. I just picked some parts of it.
I think it's okay. we can listen to a bit of it. But so the first thing is that we had Danny on as a guest to discuss many things. Of course, cheating was bound to be a part of it. But it was to discuss many things. And in total, we were there for about 3 hours. Not all of it made the cut, right? Yeah, the majority did. But we were also there for a bit, for a long time. And we were discussing many different things. Now, cheating was a small part of it. And also, Danny was our guest. So we mostly gave him time to talk. It was kind of, you know, to learn about his life and about the state of chess.com. But in many parts of it, Danny was, you know, free to kind of explain everything, and we were taking a secondary role.
Yeah, I think it was a good episode.
I think we were grilling him at times, but honestly, we could have been harsher, for sure. Like, I think we were generally mostly giving him the podium in many ways.
Of course, yeah, and that's kind of how it works. He's our guest.
Yeah, yes. that's kind of the... So that's just the preface. The actual thing, you know, also everyone is free to watch it. It's very long. I don't expect everyone to want to watch a 2 hour plus interview, but everyone is free to watch it since it was our last one.
And it sort of came to that boiling climax point in the episode when you and Danny sort of clashed. When the discussion sort of became about the Proctor and the usage of Proctor in recent events, recent Title Tuesday events, and whether you're going to use that. I'm just going to run the show. We're going to see Hikaru's reaction, and then you can react to Hikaru's reaction.
I wonder how you would answer the question for someone who cares so much about cheating to believe it's a fair position to take, that you would not at least try something once before denying it, by the way. That seems like a pretty dogmatic...
I can give you my answer. I think it's a fair answer. It's because I don't... Like, honestly, I don't respect the tournament.
So you don't care about Toad?
Wait a second. Sorry, you guys. Let me get this straight. So Fabiano, the guy who's complaining about cheating nonstop, is literally saying that he doesn't respect the tournament. But then why is cheating such a big issue? I mean, what? I mean, I'm sorry. Like, what is he even saying? That's insane. That's actually, you don't respect the tournament, but you're saying that cheating is a big problem? Then why are you even talking about the issue in the first place if you don't care about the tournament? Like, I mean, this is just weird. This is insane. This is insane. I'm sorry. This is actually insane.
Okay. Hikaru, very strong reaction about your statement regarding the disrespect towards Title Tuesday and the cheating that occurs in Title Tuesday. Your reaction to that.
Okay, so first of all, I think he's being, at best, extremely uncharitable. To start with, you can care about something without involving yourself in it. Like, you can care about the problem of cheating generally without caring about that specific tournament. I mean, for example, I might not play the Women's World Championship, but I still would be very upset if someone cheated there, even though they wouldn't be cheating as me, it wouldn't affect me. Still, I would be pretty upset if cheating happened in any tournament. And one of the fundamental disagreements I had with Danny, which I think is just a matter of opinion, is at some point I asked him, like, the level of cheating that you say exists, which there's a certain level, right? I mean, Danny and chess.com, and I'll use Danny and chess.com interchangeably because I think he is mostly a spokesperson for chess.com, although I'm sure he has his independent views and they have other people there have their independent views. They admit there's a certain level of cheating, which you can see in the interview, which is unavoidable. Even if you catch them, it's unavoidable to catch them at the exact second that they cheat, which I think they usually estimate around 2%. At least that's the number that we very often went with in this interview, just so that we were on the same page, so that we weren't debating, is it 2, is it 5, is it 10, whatever, you know, just so that we have a standard benchmark that they can agree with. And so our fundamental disagreement is that I asked him, do you think it's okay? And he said, of course, if we're running the tournaments, we think that this level of cheating is acceptable. And I just don't. Now, I don't know if you can get it to the level that I think is acceptable, which is closer to never. I don't know if that's feasible, but I don't think it's acceptable to run a serious chess event in which a number of games are being played unfairly. Now, Danny said it was 2% of games in a 600-player event. I think we can discuss if it's 600 players or 400 players or 500 players. Sometimes it's 900 players. Usually it's less. But if it's 2% of games, and that's 300 games around, that's 33...
2% was on the high side.
Okay, sure. And let's say it's 3,300 games in a 600-player event, although many players drop out and stop playing, so maybe we can subtract a few hundred games. But we're still looking at a level of cheating that is maybe on the low side between 20 games an event, going by this 2% figure, and maybe on the high side, 50 games an event, right? Or maybe more. You understand we wouldn't accept this in other sports, right? But they decide that this is acceptable. That's our first fundamental disagreement. And so what Hikaru said was that, why am I talking about it if I don't respect the tournament? Well, part of the reason I don't respect the tournament is because of this issue, that I don't think that's an acceptable level of cheating. And also, I don't personally necessarily agree that the 2% figure is accurate. I think it might be higher. I think that when chess.com gives a number, they're very likely to go for a number which is a bit more charitable than perhaps is true. And maybe they don't know the full truth as well, because one of the issues with cheating is that we just don't know. Like, we kind of rely on some groups that we put our trust in: chess.com anti-cheating, FIDE anti-cheating, and Lee Chess anti-cheating. They're the only ones, I think, with like dedicated anti-cheating teams that are widely respected and
endgame AI.
Because like, I don't have an anti-cheating system, right? You know, I just have my opinion, maybe, but nobody should be taking my opinion as truth. It's just everyone will have their personal opinion. But okay, chess.com has their anti-cheating team. But we often see this. They ban someone, that person goes out on the internet and says, I did not cheat. And then the opinion is divided. Like, you don't catch someone red-handed, so we're not ever going to have full full agreement if someone is cheating or not. But for the purposes of this, we should go with chess.com. So they say 2% usually. Maybe I'll say higher, but you honestly shouldn't be trusting me over them, right?
Again, 2% is very high. It's a very high number.
It is very high. And that's one of the issues I have. Now, when I say that I don't respect a tournament, it's also my personal opinion. I can choose to play or not to play in events. Other players do so too. Hikaru, for example, said he doesn't want to maybe play in the next freestyle event. And I don't really think that we should question people if they don't want to play because it's their personal opinion. Maybe he just doesn't like the event. Gukesh also declined his invitation, Ali Reza as well. That's their prerogative. And if I don't want to play Title Tuesday, it really shouldn't be held against me because that's my prerogative and whatever reason I may have. I think the fact that I feel, even if it's not necessarily correct, I feel that cheating is at a level which is not acceptable to me is a good enough reason. Mm-hmm. At least for me, maybe even for the outside world. But I think that you could see Hikaru was being extremely uncharitable also because before I even said anything, he had an expression on his face that what I said was ridiculous before I even said a word. Like all I said was, I'll give you my reason. And he had an expression like I had just said something shocking. Like you can just go back to this moment.
We'll give you some time to answer this. I wonder how you would answer the question for someone who cares so much about cheating to believe it's a fair position to take that you would not at least try something once before denying it, by the way. That seems like a pretty dogmatic.
I can give you my answer. I think it's a fair answer.
Yeah.
It's because I don't, like honestly, I don't respect the tournament.
So you don't care about title.
Wait, whoa, 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 wait, wait, wait a second. Wait a second. Sorry, you guys.
Like saying I'll give you my answer probably shouldn't be met with any reaction yet. But okay, I understand if he wants to maybe rock the boat a bit for views.
Yes.
The other thing is, like a lot of people might misinterpret this, is that I have gone through anti-cheating measures for years on many occasions in many tournaments. For example, the Champions Chess Tour, the Rapid Chess Championship, double cameras, the 2019 Fisher Random World Championship started on chess.com online events. And I was playing in Spain and I had a Spanish arbiter come to the house I was staying in and watch over me while I was playing. In fact, I was playing Hikaru in that tournament. And so for years and years, I've complied with the anti-cheating measures. It's not that I refuse to use anti-cheating measures. It's just that if I'm going to install some software on my computer and then set up some cameras, wake up at 10 in the morning to play honestly, some random 3-minute event where a large portion of the games are decided by disconnections. If you actually look at the event, you'll see that. A lot of players disconnect, lag. Anyone who's played Title Tuesday knows that you do lag out sometimes. And you lose on time. Or mouse slips, which do happen. And then even if you have like a great tournament, it will come down to a completely uncontrollable tiebreak system based on whether or not your opponent from round two got bored and left the tournament and screws up your tiebreaks or not, which happens all the time. Tiebreak system is completely arbitrary and random. And even if you play the best players, you don't necessarily guarantee yourself tiebreaks. And at the end of it, honestly, most people are probably playing in their underwear, which I guess they'll have to stop doing if they're on camera. And in the end, we actually have no insight into whether or not this new system is actually protecting against the problem of cheating.
That's actually true. Yes.
Sorry, I know I'm going on.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
But like one of my fundamental disagreements with Danny is that for many, many years, they basically said cheating is not really an issue, or it's not an issue that is too serious for us to continue these tournaments. And now in this interview, he said, we actually did not, like you can, if people are watching our original interview with Danny, he says, yeah, we didn't have a really good grasp on it in the past, but we're getting it better now. So basically what they're saying is that, yeah, you know, people have cheated against you in the past and we didn't do enough of a job to stop that. But trust us, in the future, it will be better. And although our current tool is currently the departure tool, as Danya has said, and as other people have said, is currently too cumbersome to use comfortably and causes too much lag and other issues to play comfortably. We will improve it in the future, and we expect you to trust us to use our tool, and otherwise you won't be able to play these very important tournaments that now we're going to make part of a wider tour that you will have, you will rely on to play. So I found the whole premise kind of unreasonable. It's like, yeah, you haven't done it well in the past, but now I'm supposed to trust you. And I'm also not supposed to be mad about all the times in the past that, like, I'm also allowed to get emotional about it. You know, I can think of at least three occasions I played someone in a crucial round, like a strong grandmaster, in a crucial round of Tile Tuesday, lost the game. The player was subsequently banned without me ever finding out directly, but having to find out, you know, through my own investigation or some rumors, but finding out, like, confirmed banned. And they cost me money. They also, in some ways, I feel, you know, like, maybe the money's minor, but still I feel, like, personally offended by it. I think that's reasonable. I was never compensated. And then these players were never properly punished because they were shadow banned, and basically a few handful of people maybe know about it. I am expected to stay silent about it and protect their identities, as I did in this podcast, by the way. We said someone's name, but eventually blocked it out to protect their identity. And then I'm just supposed to trust them in the future that it will be better, but without ever being compensated or reassured, honestly, just mostly being, like, kind of subtly threatened that if I don't comply with all their measures in the future, that I'll be kind of forced out of their tournament circuit. So that's my position. We can hear more of what Hikaru has to say, I guess.
Obviously, we're probably going to get a reaction on this one as well, but I completely understand your position and where you're coming from. It's quite frustrating to be playing these events, and I've seen you get quite angry as well, which makes perfect sense because you are taking time off of your day, and sometimes those days are coinciding with another Grand Chess Tour event or another important classical event, and you decide to play the title Tuesdays for a variety of reasons. Could be for fun, could be for practice as well, but you're expecting a certain level of fair play as well, which should be guaranteed by the platform, by chess.com. So obviously, from a guy coming from your position to be playing the whole tournament and get to those final rounds, and then you play against somebody that, you know, cheats against you, and that destroys your whole tournament, and that destroys pretty much your chances at getting a prize, and you've just wasted a couple of hours, maybe more than a couple of hours, when you could have done something much more important in preparation for an event. Or, look, a guy in your position obviously has a lot of things more important than wasting 2 hours. I also understand Danny's perspective and what they're saying in terms of, look, directionally we're going where we probably should be. At least we're trying to achieve those levels of anti-cheating that everybody dreams of. And what he says, it's also that, you know, this is a war, and we might lose some battles along the way, but ultimately we will be winning the war against cheating. What's your take on that?
Like, I do believe also that they do work a lot on trying to solve the cheating problem. I think that they want to solve it, probably because they are mostly chess players who work there, and chess players haven't, unless they're directly cheating, they have no reason to want to allow cheating to continue, right? It's maybe it doesn't affect their bottom line in the end, but they probably want to get it under control. That being said, I think that they didn't lose battles because they grew, and the people who lost battles were the people who got cheated against. So that's why I feel like I don't know what the solution is. I'm not asking for them to give me money to compensate for the times I lost money, because I don't even know what it is. It's probably minor, and I wouldn't be able to tell you. Even those players who were banned, can I tell you for sure that they cheated in that specific game against me? No, of course not. Just, you know, it's a smoking gun, right? It's like, you know, your money was robbed from your house, and then you saw a guy running out of your house. But could have been a coincidence, right? So I'm not asking for that. It just feels like I'm kind of being gaslit. It's like, in the past, we had it under control, they said. Now they're saying, no, we didn't actually have it under control, but now it's going to be better. If cheating isn't a serious issue, then why do you have a proctor system in the first place? Like, why do you need this if it's not such a serious issue? If it wasn't a serious issue in the past, why are you working so hard to implement these new and honestly kind of cumbersome measures, which are probably expensive for them to also implement? And also, like, if we're talking about, let's say, 20 games in a standard Title Tuesday are decided by one player cheating, I think that's a very conservative estimate. Let's just say that. Would Hikaru be comfortable if in the World Cup, I don't think he's playing it, but let's just say he plays the World Cup, and he knows from the start that in 20 random games, there will be some cheating going on. It might not affect him, but it might affect the tournament. Well, it probably will affect the tournament. It might not affect him directly, or it might. He probably would think that's absolutely outrageous. I think anyone would.
Absolutely, and that's due to the fact that people are still having a very different opinion about online cheating versus in-person cheating, over-the-board cheating. The difference between those opinions is still extremely high. People just simply see online cheating as less relevant and less important than over-the-board cheating.
I mean, cheating in an online event or an over-the-board event is still cheating. The difference is because nobody takes Title Tuesday seriously. That's why. That's why we accept it. And that's why I'm saying I don't respect the tournament. We only accept this level of cheating because nobody honestly gives a fuck about this tournament. People wake up, roll out of bed. Sometimes they just play in bed. They turn their computer on, play a few games. If it goes badly, they withdraw, fuck up everyone's tie breaks. If it goes well, they keep playing. Some random guy's cheating. You don't know if you'll play against him or not. Maybe your internet will lag out for literally 2 seconds and you lose a crucial game. It's not a serious event. That's why I don't respect it. And of course, I couldn't go into so much detail in the podcast because it was mostly an interview for our guest. It wasn't for me to go on a rant like I'm doing now.
I completely understand it from your perspective, and I understand it from my perspective as a player that occasionally plays Title Tuesday. And this is sort of why I stopped playing it as well, because look, I'm a player that generally doesn't get to fight for prizes. If I fight 1 out of 100 times for prizes, that's a success in my book. But still, it's very frustrating to be dedicating those hours to playing this event and then just ending up playing against somebody that uses computer assistance, cheats against you, and then beats you, wipes the floor with you. And it's extremely frustrating, right? And that's why I feel we don't see a lot of players, a lot of regulars from the top 100 that you would expect to see in a tournament such as Title Tuesday just decide to opt out of the event. And it makes sense. Again, it can just simply become a waste of time. And a lot of these players don't think they have those hours to waste. So this is the big problem that I feel we're facing right now, and a problem that we need to find a solution for. Go ahead if you have another point to add.
Yeah, like, this is why I had no complaints when I did the measures in, like, the Champions Chess Tour, even though, as you know, sometimes they were, like, you probably remember this event in 2023 where there were delays and everything, and we ended up playing 10 hours that day.
I played 10 hours that day.
10 hours.
Yeah, it was a lot of, like, technical issues also related to the measures. There's just, you know, shit happens. But I considered it a serious event, part of a general tour that it's rapid. Rapid Blitz, they both can be serious. But I kind of, and maybe this is also my personal opinion, and I've said this in also an interview that, you know, I'm not speaking the gospel, right? It's just, I'm saying my personal preferences very often. You know, I'm not expecting anyone to bend to me. But I went through the sometimes difficult measures, sometimes annoying measures, setting up cameras, making sure that nobody comes in your room if you're staying with people, blocking out 10 hours of your day to play an event, potentially, because some of these events are serious, and of course I respect that. But Title Tuesday, I think also we have to understand an event comes with a history. Just because they get everything perfectly at some point it's not going to make it easy for me personally to forget that for years and years they ran this show like this in a way which I don't think a show should be run.
And putting it in perspective, it's going on for about, I think, 8 years at this point.
And it's gotten much better. Like, people watching this might not have been following chess back then, because it was a long time ago. But at the early days of Tile Tuesday, they could not get an event to not crash. I don't know what the issue was. Every single Tile Tuesday would crash, and then you would just have wasted like 2 hours because the event would be completely called off. This happened for a long time, which I'm not going to blame them for that. I mean, technical issues, what can you do? They were trying to get their site to a smooth place, which I think they mostly did. I mean, now the events run smoothly for the most part. You don't really crash. There are no DDoS attacks. I don't know, maybe that was one of their issues. You can expect that if you start with Tile Tuesday, you will finish it if you want. You won't, the event won't be canceled 2 rounds through or 6 rounds through or whatever. But that's, I think, a separate issue. I'm not blaming them for technical issues that happened years and years ago. By the way, maybe we should listen to like a little bit more of what Ikar said, because I think we should give him a fair shake.
Sure. I'm going to choose a very random moment and see what he says, if you want to continue on that path.
No, I don't know. I mean, it's a 54-minute video, so we can, like, I don't want it to be that we only listened to like 30 seconds of his speech and we didn't address.
So basically what Fabiano is saying is he's basically kind of like Kramnik, for lack of a better way of putting it. He just assumes there always are people cheating because he never wins, and he suffers against these like CMs or FMs or IMs. And this is, I mean, Fabiano did a good job. I mean, I've said it before, but Fabiano did a good job. He did a good job of not letting his true feelings come out, but here it kind of is getting revealed. It's getting exposed by Danny inadvertently. Inadvertently, it's getting exposed.
Fabi, you feel exposed?
I mean, we're going basically with the chess.com, what they say about cheating. I'm not trying to put my personal feelings into it. I'm not saying that I think it's because this specific person, besides the people who I know were banned, and there are some people who I and also Hikaru know have been banned. But I'm leaving all that out. It's not because I lost to a FM or a candidate master, although honestly, if a candidate master is beating me, which maybe happens, I would have to like see past results to see how often that happens. That honestly, that is really weird, and I'm pretty sure the chances of that are like less than 1 in 100, probably 1 in 200 by the ratings. But that's not because I'm not trying to say that. I'm just going by, because I understand if we start that conversation, it's just going to devolve into you're paranoid, you think it's 10%, you think it's 15, you think it's 80% of people. You know, that's not what I'm going for. I don't want it to be a discussion about how much cheating there is. I'm just going by the chess.com number, which Danny said 2% of games. Maybe he misspoke and it was 2% of players. But in any case, I would still go with that and say that that is an unacceptable amount in a tournament. And I'm not only talking about my personal games, I also see it in other games. Even if I don't play a cheater, it might be that someone else does and it affects the tournament. The integrity of the tournament is gone as soon as you have active cheating in multiple games. Like, basically the best you can ask for, I think, like, if I played an open tournament and I knew there was even one cheater, I would actually think the tournament is just damaged.
I think that's the main point. If you compare over-the-board events and the integrity that is expected of over-the-board events, especially major ones and online events, even major ones, and if Tile Tuesday becomes part of a major cycle, then obviously it's going to become a major event, then the expectation of integrity has to be somewhat on a similar scale. And right now it's not.
Yeah, and also, if I had had confirmed confirmation that I have played, let's say, 3 or 4 people who have been banned for cheating over the board over the last few years, or even over the course of my entire career, which spans, you know, 20 plus years, that I think would be outrageous. I have never once in my entire career had a confirmed case where I played a cheater. I don't even think I have strong suspicion that I've played someone who has cheated against me. It may have happened because I've played so many games over so many years, and also into my younger years, I don't remember everything. But you would probably be able to count on two fingers in the last like few decades how many I maybe have played, or maybe it's even zero. It could be zero.
I don't think I've ever played a cheater over the board.
Definitely not someone that you know about, right?
No.
And whenever there's a big cheating scandal over the board, it's so big. It's like Feller. It becomes like a court case. You know, I mean, there were literally tribunals. Shevchenko. I mean, our threshold for cheating online is like whatever it happens. And over the board, it's basically, you know, do we ban this person for 5 years, for life, or do we get the police involved? And I don't really see why it should be that different. I mean, I understand online chess, okay, whatever, there's a certain amount you have to deal with, and we've accepted that for some reason. I think we've only accepted it because chess.com pours money into tournaments, and there is no way to eliminate it to zero, at least for the moment. No way that we know of. And players get money, and we are expected not to say anything because you're kind of paranoid if you say anything at this point, which is also why Hikaru doesn't, because he did used to say things. But I think he understood at this point that the narrative is very much that you don't say anything. And that's why the public opinion of people, the public opinion of people, or what they say publicly, is very measured for most chess players, top chess players. And the private discussion is much more liberal and usually encompasses a wide variety of speculations and insinuations, perhaps, or just the rumor mill, which I'm not saying is a good thing. On the other hand, it shows that there is a kind of fear of being seen as paranoid by everyone, including Hikaru. And there's probably some reason for it. At least I don't think it's been gotten under control. You know, we haven't really talked about this too much recently. It's just kind of evolved from this Danny discussion. But I think the fundamental thing is, you know, what Hikaru says he finds an acceptable amount is different from what I find to be an acceptable amount. And I think for him, that's fine because he can have his opinion. I mean, I would never blame someone for playing Title Tuesday. I would also never blame them for not wanting to play in Title Tuesday because for whatever reason. But for chess.com, I think they should have a higher threshold. It's like, we need to stop this now. And I don't think that they should have let it go on for years with prize money events and then say afterwards, oh, you know, sorry. Basically what Danny said was, oh, sorry, guys, we're doing better now. I don't think that was, I don't know what the solution was, but I don't think that was the solution.
Yeah, and I think with that one, it's probably the perfect place to leave it. Obviously, this is an ongoing and ever-evolving situation and discussion that I'm sure we're probably not going to hear the last of. We'll leave it at that, Fabi, until next time.
It's probably the last I'm going to talk about it for now, because I want to take a bit of a break from it. I mean, I feel that Hikaru was, at best, extremely unfair. And more or less, I think, put words in my mouth by saying that I feel this way because I'm losing to some random people or even some grandmasters. It's not the case. I was just going by the numbers and my perception of the numbers. So he just put words in my mouth. I think it was completely unfair, mischaracterization, basically just fabrication of the interview, or his own personal assumption of my views based on absolutely nothing. And anyway, I just want to get that in because that's probably the last I'm going to say about it for a while.
Yeah, let's leave it at that. Fabi, you have a gala to attend tonight. Have fun in that one. It's always a good time at the St. Lucia's Club. You have a Singfield Cup coming up, a crucial Singfield Cup, I might add, because that one will be determining who's going to go to Brazil. That one is going to be covered on the St. Louis Chess Club's YouTube channel. So if you want to watch that, obviously go there. It should be a couple of very exciting weeks of classical chess. I wish you the best, Fabi. try to qualify to those final four spots in Brazil. It's quite important, and that's going to be a very exciting event. I will be following, and from afar. Yeah, guys, once again, thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for following the C-Squared podcast, and I hope you guys are enjoying our discussions and this week's discussion as well as the one with Danny. But of course, the easiest way for you guys to support the channel and the growth of the channel is to like and subscribe, because that obviously helps with the engagement, but also it helps to spread the word, and that's quite important for us. We want more people to get into chess. We want more people to learn about the discussions and the storylines that are happening within the chess world. And I think this is the best place to keep updated on that. So thank you very much once again. And until next time, cheers. Have a good week. And we'll see you soon. Cheers.